600 were lost. 160 were lost.
Right, so nearly 1,000 were saved. So yeah. that's pretty amazing, isn't it, when you think about it, yeah. as it went down in... We've had 4 minutes today. I've had 4 minutes, 6 minutes, 8 minutes. Mm. Those are three different things already.
Well, you always get that. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, the actual time it went down was 6 minutes.
In the account that's online by, I can't remember what his name is, but you know what the
Peter
man,
Scott.
No. What's his name?
Oh, George James.
Yeah, George James. He says that he got in touch with the man who'd fired the torpedo.
Yeah, he did.
Is that right?
I believe he was asked to write a. He was doing some project at an evening studies he was doing, and they suggested he did this, and he did. He eventually got in touch with them. And, you know, some of them disagreed, and I said, well, they were only doing their job the same as we were. They were only young sailors like we were. But the reason why he became a bit unpopular was he used to hammer this when we went to the reunions, and he would insist on saying for them as well, well, for us, it was a tragedy. For the U-boat, it was a triumph. And on one occasion, he said about the U-boat and how that it was sunk out in the Pacific and the Americans machine-gunned it. And we all, and a lot of them turned their backs. They didn't like it. And I had to take him aside. And I said to him, you should have told Les you wanted to do this. I said, because, you know, for... us, it was a tragedy. I said, for the U-boat 73, it was a triumph. I said, so it doesn't mix with this reunion.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, that's something, it's a very difficult area.
And that's why he became unpopular because
yes.
he kept on about that. As though, you know...
And we just hinted a little bit when we were talking about the Spanish and things. I mean... do you think that it was a sort of the sinking of the Eagle and was a sort of lesson to the British? I mean, do you think it was it came completely, presumably out of the blue? They were very surprised by what had happened. I mean, do you think that it was, I'm trying to say, not really a lesson, but I mean, do you think that it was something that could have been avoided, I suppose?
What, the sinking of the Eagle?
Mm.
Well, no, not really. I mean, the point about it was that we were... as I said to you earlier, Mary, we had our backs to the wall. The Mediterranean between Gib and Malta was not in control of the Germans or the Italians, but it was essential that Malta survived. And Malta was the most bombed place of the whole of the war. Now, when I went in there after the war and saw the devastation, it was appalling. And so the convoy, the pedestal convoy that they cobbled together to relieve Malta was because they had something message from Malta that unless they had more supplies, they could not hold out any longer. And if Malta had fallen, then the whole area would have been very different. And so that convoy was got together to force a way through. And it succeeded. Didn't succeed completely, but it succeeded and they got enough supplies through to enable Malta to carry on. And so that... getting back to what you were saying, you know, could it have been avoided? Well, no, I don't think it could, because it was just part of the war.
Is there a memorial to it in Malta?
To
HMS Pedestal?
They've got a big and they've got a big Maltese bell there, which is, they call it, because Malta got the George Cross, and they call it the George Cross Island. But the Maltese... call the pedestal convoy the Santa Maria convoy. And the reason for that is because it arrived there on the 15th of August, which is the feast of Our Lady's Assumption. And they always believed that it was their prayers to Our Lady that got it through. And you can't dismiss that. It's, I know, you know, people say, oh, but I, and so they call it the Santa Maria convoy. And I know when I was in Malta this time, I went and saw one of the chaps who organises the pedestal reunions out there, Maltese chap Simon Cousins, and people who knew, and I was with my daughter and my son-in-law, and they said, oh, you know, yeah, I was on the pedestal. Oh, and they said, you were heroes. And I said, no, we weren't heroes. I said, you were heroes. And they were, when you think of what they suffered during the war, continuous bombing day after day. It's hard to imagine.
It is very hard to imagine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's an extraordinary story. Well, thank you. I think we just want to ask, literally a final thing, I promise you, is that just thinking, when you think back to it now, and obviously we've been talking about it a lot today, but what is the sort of abiding image or memory of the sinking of the Eagle in your mind? What comes into your head?
Well, the abiding memory, I think, is the fact that there was no panic, and also, which I suppose was put down to naval training, discipline, there was no panic, and the fact how I was helped up through a hatch, and I automatically did it to the next bloke coming. And I know when I got on up to the top on the waist, one of my sort of abiding memories is that, to me, it was a beautiful sunny day. And I thought to myself, it looks like a beach. Everybody on the beach and all the ships in the distance. That's all I thought of at the time when I got up there. Never thought that I was in the middle of a battle. It's just, it came to you. It's beautiful sunshine. Everybody walking up and down the, not waiting to be told to go in the water. And there were all the ships. Well, of course, all the ships were crisscrossing because they're all over the place. Just looked like a sunny afternoon on a beach anywhere. But that's fantasy.
It's, yeah, it's an extraordinary image, actually. Really,
and the fact
really.
that it happened that, you know, I'd been, at the time, I don't think occurred to me.
No, I think you take everything at face value.
Because at
is.
That age, you don't die. Only the old people die. And that's why I always say, when you think of how the Battle of Britain pilots, 18, 19... in an aircraft. I mean, I know what I would have been like at 18, 19 in an aircraft. I don't die, somebody else dies. And it's the same when you see youngsters on the road today, you see. And we're all the same when we're that age.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. It's a really, really interesting interview. Thank you. End of interview.